Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, the podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies not covered by any other Movie by Minute podcast. And the date we're recording this, the date you're listening to this will be in the future, but the date we're recording this is December 22nd. So Merry Christmas, but actually more likely Happy Valentine's Day. I think at this point, at the time that this will post online, I think both me and my co-host will probably have seen Nosferatu, which is coming out in theaters on Christmas, at least here in America. When does Nosferatu come out in the Britain?
I believe it might be around the same time. Let me double check. Nosferatu.
You got a pretty British cast in that movie too.
Oh yeah, like that's one of the reasons people are so excited, is because we've got like British folks in this movie. So
you got Nicholas Holt, who's blowing up like crazy. Nicholas Holt's becoming a huge star. I mean, look at him. He's in Nosferatu. He's Jonathan Harker. He's in Juror Number 2 and possibly up for an Oscar nomination, which is going to be huge considering he is all over the trailer for Superman Legacy as Lex Luthor.
I know. I remember when he was in the British series Skins. That's when I know him the most.
Oh, I was introduced to him from playing Hank McCoy, the Beast, in the X-Men movies.
Ah, yes.
Oh, and the zombie. And he's the zombie boy in the zombie love story.
Warm Body.
Warm Bodies, yeah. I actually really like that movie. I'm not big on zombie romances because, let's face it, zombies are not sexy. Vampires are sexy. Werewolves, sure, if you're into, you know, fucking a furry or fucking your dog, I guess werewolves are sexy. No offense, people. But you fuck a furry, you want to fuck a werewolf, you're into fucking furries and you're into fucking your dogs.
Yeah.
So don't even deny that you're into bestiality if you like a werewolf. So, but hey, what does that say about us if we're into vampires? We're into necrophilia?
Possibly.
Yeah, that dead pussy. It's all about that dead pussy. So
the 1st of January is when Nosferatu comes out in the UK, so it's New Year's Day.
Oh, that's interesting. I'd rather be New Year's Day than Christmas. Christmas is such an odd time. But if you go on my YouTube channel right now, you can check out my video review of the Nosferatu coffin popcorn box.
Oh, why doesn't it surprise me that they're making a popcorn box? They're doing it for every movie now.
It's the year of the popcorn box. 2025 was a huge 2024 was a huge year for popcorn boxes. First we had the Dune pussy, right? Then we had the like like the alien head. We had the alien head, which looked like a giant black cock. We had the recently we just had the hammer from the Lord of the Rings movie. We've had a Ghostbusters car, the Ecto-1. We had the bat signal. You know what I mean? And now we got the coffin.
Yes, it's just becoming bizarre trend, isn't it?
And of course there were videos of people taking the alien head, the back end of it, and sticking it into the Dune worm, like, you know what I mean?
Yes. It's a flesh flight. You know?
It's like, what the fuck is wrong with people? They're like, look, see? See what it is? Like, Jesus Christ. And it can't be censored because it does look like an anus or a pussy, or more of an anus. And the other one does look like a big black cock, but you can't censor that because they're not actually that. So they get away with these videos.
It's the action. It's not what it is.
When I went to PAX East, Dune 2 had just come out, so the popcorn bucket had just come out, and there was a Dune video game that's out, like a role-playing RPG, World of Warcraft, and if you wanted to enter for a free, like, box set, it was a board game, so if you wanted to win a free box set, you had to stick your hand into the Dune pussy and pull out a entry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they said you're not allowed to enter unless you actually fist the thing. So everyone had to fist the Dune worm pussy. Everyone's like, when is the porn industry going to come out with their own popcorn bucket? Because Hollywood's already beating them to it.
Oh God! Like, could you imagine?
So I was like, because there was no one for what's the movie that came out? Pearl X, the third of those films came out, which was, you know, kind of like in the porn industry in Hollywood or sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't catch up with porn. That's not my thing. But I know what Pearl X is for definite.
Yeah, Pearl and X. The third of those films came out by Ty West. Yeah. Starring Mia Goth.
Yes.
So I digress on to other disgusting things involving sexually oriented stuff, like this movie, but not particularly this scene. As we're covering From Dusk Till Dawn, minutes 75 to 80. And we begin with the camera panning towards Tom Savini and then him getting bitten. They start kind of walking around the bar and trying to figure out, how do you defeat a vampire?
Yes, like, this is where it gets interesting, isn't it? Because it's like, we're going through the cliches of what we know through media.
Right, but Jacob then points out, okay, does anyone know anything about vampires besides what you saw in some movie? And then Tom Savini says, what, like a Time Life book?
Oh my goodness, like, it made me wonder, like, was in their universe, is there like an official vampire book that could tell them officially, like, it's a real thing, you know, like, to use as gospel?
I think the Time Life books that he's talking about probably exist in the universe. Do you know what these are?
I don't know, because I'm British, we don't have that sort of thing.
Oh, you didn't have Time Life in Britain?
I don't believe we did, because I've not heard of it before. It does sound very American though.
So the Time Life, hold on, I'm trying to pull it up right now. Okay, so the Time Life paranormal books were a series of hardcover books, and the whole there are 33 volumes in it. And FYI, you can easily get all 33 volumes on eBay for roughly $300 or less. Which is really good for this series, because it has never been reprinted and it's not available digital as far as I'm aware. But there are 33 volumes of this Time Life series. They were all black books with a single picture in the middle, and they all had to deal with some form of paranormal whatchamacallit, whether it be Bigfoot, UFOs, psychic voyages, spirit summonings, ancient wisdom and secret sex, mystic places, phantom encounters, psychic powers, hauntings, werewolves, vampires, and other things.
And cryptids?
Cryptids. Because we're
like Mothman.
Yeah. Alien encounters, UFOs, cosmic connections, cosmic people, ancient ruins. These were fascinating books or whatever. My mother used to have them. I would love a collection of these one day. Again, for most of the time, I see these on eBay. The entire collection goes for about $300, which for 33 hardbound books, that's a pretty good deal. Considering, like, if you break it down the math or whatever, it's not too far off how much these cost when they came out in the 1980s. I think it was like $10 a book.
Yeah, that would be around that kind of price.
Yeah, so they didn't. So you're actually getting it for a good deal, because sometimes I've seen them go for over $1,000 on eBay. So that is what Tom Savini is referring to now. What famous British vampire horror character does Tom Savini mention?
Oh, I had the name and I can't remember what it was. Like, he would, like, he's like, oh, like, so-and-so does.
Peter Cushing.
Why? Yes, that was the name.
Yes, famous Hammer horror actor Peter Cushing, best known for the Frankenstein series of films, where he played Frankenstein in many roles, as well as he was Sherlock Holmes in a few short films like The Hound of the Baskervilles, and he was Abraham Van Helsing in three different Dracula movies with Christopher Lee.
He was also Tarkin in Star Wars as well.
He was. That was my. That's where a lot of people I know probably will always remember him as. If they never saw his other films, it's because it's they saw Star Wars, and he was Grand Moff Tarkin, the commander of the Death Star, and Vader's boss aboard the Death Star. Don't forget, Vader answered to him, because it was his command post that Vader was aboard. I mean, he might have been like the Emperor's second, you know, in command of the Empire, but Grand Moff Tarkin was the commander of the Death Star, and Vader had to answer to him. And
definitely make him look like Abraham Lincoln, that's for sure.
I mean, he really got his career started like way back in like the early 50s when the Hammer horror movies started blowing up with The Curse of Frankenstein and Horror of Dracula. And he put two candlesticks together to defeat Christopher Lee's Dracula.
Wow.
Isn't it funny that 20 years later after, sorry, almost 25 years later after Star Wars came out, Christopher Lee would join the Star Wars universe as Count Dooku?
I know, it's like worlds collide. It's like everything's connected into like one entity. Everyone's related to a franchise from another.
Right. If you also remember the actor who costume, that was David Prowse, and he was also one of the Frankenstein monsters created by Peter Cushing.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, actor and bodybuilder.
Yeah, he also trained with Christopher Reeve to bulk him up to become Superman.
Yes, and he was also like a manservant in Stan Kubrick's 1971 film A Clockwork Orange.
Yep, definitely. Yep. So they go over the different things that a vampire are. What are some of the ways to stop a vampire that I think will work?
They were saying, you know, and then have the about silver, which is funny because it's like, oh, no, that's werewolves. So there's like...
Does anybody even have any silver?
No.
Yeah, and then Juliet Lewis is like, does anybody have silver? No? Okay, then let's stop talking about silver.
But no, who cares? Yeah. But do you actually know if vampires are weak to silver?
It depends on who writes it. Let's face it. Here's the thing about werewolves and silver. All the werewolf media lore comes from The Wolfman and Werewolf of London. Not an American Werewolf in London, but Werewolf in London. Right. The original 1930s films by Universal Studios. That is where the werewolf stuff comes from, not from actual text. Vampire stuff comes from text. The sunlight, the turning into animals, the mist, the religious artifacts, that comes from various beliefs through history that Bram Stoker wrote, as well as like the Varney the Vampire, the Penny Dreadfuls of the old British lore. Camilla the Vampire, things like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That is based on actual fact of things that happened, whereas werewolves, all made up in Hollywood.
Yeah, and apparently, according to vampire lore, silver is considered a weakness because of its symbolic association with purity and light, but also because silver was used for mirrors, which reflect vampires.
Now, here's a question. Vampires could never be photographed, right? Because that was the old photographs, like with a camera, but today... There's no mirrors in my cell phone.
Nope, you could take photos of vampires on your phone, but you wouldn't be able to do it on, like, a Polaroid or anything like that.
Gotcha. So they go over that, put the two sticks together. I do love Seth says, are you a mean motherfucker who's gonna help us beat these satanic cocksuckers? And then, Jacob punches him out, like lays him right on his ass because he's tired of the taunting he's constantly giving him. But he reassures him that he will find his faith in God. But I love the fact that he doesn't swear. He goes, because he can't say motherfucker.
This is the subtlety that I love about this movie. It's like he didn't have to say okay or yes. He just had to repeat the words but censor himself, thus proving he has some faith still within him and that he's still a man of God. And that is what I love about that scene.
Definitely. And then we get to like another inspirational pure evil straight from hell. That's the other line that Clooney uses. Just before the 5 minutes ends, Fred Williamson begins to talk about like his Vietnam War days, or his character's Vietnam War days. Yeah. And I believe the actor actually fought in Vietnam as well.
Oh, did he really?
I believe Tom Savini, who plays Sex Machine, he was in Vietnam.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By the way, Fred Williamson is still alive today. He's 86 years old.
Wow, still going strong.
Yeah, long career.
I like how like they say Nam, but you immediately know they're referring to the Vietnam War. They just say Nam.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's... Yeah, but this is where it gets really interesting. Like, I really liked this scene because you get some character development. You get, like, I do believe what I see with my own eyes, even though I don't believe in vampires. And then you have a guy who has been issues with his faith, and rather than just be an asshole about it, he's actually like, you know what, I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do. I'm going to have that little faith left in me and to save us.
Okay, so as far as I'm aware... And as far as I could find online, Fred Williamson did not serve in the Vietnam War. Tom Savini did, because a lot of his makeup effects work for the Night of the Living Dead is inspired by photographs he took of the Vietnam War and the way people looked from gunshot wounds and explosions and things like that. You know what I mean? That's why that's how he became such a prolific makeup artist. But Fred Williamson, the black guy in the scene, he he was in college, played college football, and went on to play for the San Francisco 49ers. He was known as the Hammer. So he actually was a National Football League player with the 49ers, the Oakland Raiders, and the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Green Bay. And he went on from the football career to acting career. But he does have black belts in Kenpo, karate, and Taekwondo.
Oh, suits the movie very well then.
Yes, so definitely. But he was never in the Vietnam War. He was in MASH though, by the way. He was in the 1970s movie MASH. Yeah, yeah, not the TV show. But he's still alive today. No. Maybe I can reach out to his management, have him on the show. Reach out to him, so we'll see. 86 years old, you know, who knows? But I digress. That's all the notes I have here for these 5 minutes. Laws, do you have any more notes?
I just liked the scene a lot, like, for definite. Like, it shows a character development for Jacob. It's the debate, like, the characters interacting with each other about the vampire lore and, like, what they think would work and what they've seen to have worked. It's a fantastic scene. Like, there's not much action, but, like, you can see, like, the characters starting to build and, like, having to build that trust in each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. Don't forget, you can find me on the Vampire Movie Minute podcast with my other shows that I've covered with Scott and other guests that we've had on the show, like Laws and Billy Coyne, who was a makeup artist, covering Lost Boys and Vampire Hunter D and so many more. Or you can find me on my regular radio show, Radio of Horror. Please pick up my copy of my own vampire stories, such as The Undead Are a Joke or Vlada, a Dracula Tale. Laws, where can they find you?
People can find me on Facebook as Loz Cadman author page. You can find me on Instagram at Cherry Rabbit Loz. And you can find me on Twitter as Loz Cadman Books. And you can purchase my book, Midnight Devotion, the book about vampires and the punk rock band in 2009, on Amazon and other online bookstores. And book two will be coming out next year. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Awesome. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another 5 minutes of From Dusk Till Dawn here on the Vampire Movie Minute podcast. Mm-hmm.